Hi there, everyone. My name is Shah Shaheed, and welcome to my season one review of DC Universe Streaming Service's original show, Titans. Now, Titans is actually an original show by the DC Universe Streaming Service from DC Comics and Warner Brothers. It premiered a couple of months ago in the US only on the DC Universe service because it's not available anywhere else. Why, DC? Get on that, please. I need it. But worldwide, Titans is being distributed by Netflix. So it just came out in Canada on Netflix a couple of days ago. Of course, I binged the whole thing. So this is my season one review of that show, Titans. Now, if you're not too familiar with comic book shows, comic books in general, then Titans is going to be something that's very familiar to you from the cartoon. Teen Titans Go is an adaptation of the same characters in a very sort of kiddie, humorous approach, which my kids love. I love. It's actually one of those things which are kind of like funny for kids, but also pretty ridiculous and off the wall for adults as well. Great watch. Definitely check that out. That's on Netflix too. They also had a movie of the animated feature, a feature-length movie of the animated show, Teen Titans Go to the Movies, early in 2018. And Young Justice is also an animated show that was on Netflix for a while. Season 3, I believe, is on the DC Universe app as well, featuring sort of the same characters. Titans was originally conceptualized as the group of sidekicks of well-established DC comic heroes. So, for example, Robin was Batman's sidekick. The Titans team consists of Robin, Kid Flash, Flash's sidekick, Wonder Girl, Wonder Woman's sidekick, as well as, I think, Aqualad, which was Aqualad's Aquaman's sidekick, and Red Arrow, Speedy, I believe, Green Arrow's sidekick. So the Teen Titans team originally composed of these sidekicks. Obviously, as it happens in comic books, over the years, this lineup has changed, characters have changed, leading us to the incarnation of the characters in the Teen Titans Go animated series, as well as this new Titan show. The lineup consists of Robin, who is Dick Grayson, formerly the first Robin from Batman, as well as Raven, which is this mystical magic demon child lady, Starfire, who's an alien from another planet, she has powers from the sun, Beast Boy, who is a character that can change into any sort of animal. And Cyborg originally was part of the lineup. However, Cyborg is in the movies now as part of the DCEU. So they're not using him in this show. However, this show is amazing. There is no frame of reference to what this show does in this zeitgeist of superhero content. But definitely, definitely watchable. Very interesting. And we'll talk about exactly why it works as a show on its own and what it does to this sort of existing universe of superhero shows and movies that we currently have going on right now. So before I dig any deeper into singing the praises, and I'm going to be singing the praises of the show, I gotta let you guys know that there is, this is gonna be like a little bit of a disclaimer, right? This is not a very kid-friendly show. However, you know, if your kids, or if you think that this is going to be the type of sort of animated feature, or it's a superhero show, how bad is it going to get? It gets pretty bad. This show, Titans, has ample amounts of swearing. The sort of language used is very explicit. A lot of F-bombs, a lot of S-words, and just sort of graphic swearing. So if that's something that you're not into, maybe don't check this out, but that shouldn't be the thing that makes you not watch this. There is not a lot of sexual content. There is some sort of PG-13, maybe you could say 14-year-old sort of cutaways during some sexual activity. There is definitely one episode has some graphic rear nudity. So that's something that to watch out for. The one thing that this show also has on top of the swearing in helpful amounts is a lot of gore, a lot of violence, very graphic violence, blood. It gets a little extreme. Episode 1 has some violence that even made me kind of sit back and go, whoa. So that's something that's kind of up to your judgment in terms of if this is a kid-friendly thing. So originally, Episode 1 only has one swear word, which is in the trailers, you know, the F Batman comment. So I watched Episode 1 and I'm like, oh, this is fine. There's just only one swear word. There's some gratuitous sort of violence, which, you know, you can just kind of block out. Here, guys, what I do is what our parents did with us, right? For South Asians, is the, you know, cover your eyes technique, right? Something bad happens, cover your eyes, kids! So my kids are really interested in the characters of Teen Titans because they watched the animated Teen Titans Go series. And also in my household, it's a kind of a big thing, superheroes to begin with. Although I had to vet the show before I let them watch it. I had to watch the episodes in advance. And there's the gore and violence is definitely something that, depending on your level of experience, is going to turn you off. It is not gratuitous, I have to say. The violence and the action and the gore is very in keeping with the tone of the series. It's not something they're doing just so they can do it. The swearing at times does get to the point where it's very much like, that wasn't necessary. But again, this is DC's first R-rated mature audience content, really, not movie. Like, this is their characters in a world that we've never seen them in before. So you can see that kind of they went a little like trigger happy with the swearing. But definitely, if it's something your kids want to watch, depending on your parenting style, depending on what you expose your kids to, this is something that's watchable, you know, with some censorship. With, again, the violent stuff was really gory for me. I made my kids kind of, I muted and tell them to close their eyes. Obviously, the sexual part, same thing. I mean, again, like I said, there's no sort of graphic sexual content, a lot of kissing, some making out, again, and that's not that kind of a show. So two incidents I can think of that really kind of feature that sort of a content. Other than that, rest is up to you. Hashtag no judgment parenting. All right, so the story of this DC Universe show, Titans, is basically involving a girl, Rachel, who essentially is Raven from the comic origins, and basically the fact that there's a group of people coming after her because of this power that she has inside of her, to the point where they're searching her, and they're searching for her, and basically her being on the run leads her to now a grown-up detective, Dick Grayson. That's right, our boy's all grown up.
He's a big boy now.
But he's left behind the Robin persona. He's in Detroit. He's a detective in the police department, and he comes across Rachel, and he has to protect her. And the series really is about, who is Rachel? What are her powers? Why are these people after her? Dick has to protect her, which kind of gives parallels of his own origin story, where Batman took him in, Bruce Wayne took him in when he was an orphan, and he had nobody. So he kind of sees those parallels in himself protecting this girl. And that's essentially what the story is about. In the meantime, you have another character called Corey Anders, who suffers memory loss. She doesn't know who she is. She's got bright magenta hair, and she's got funky clothes. She doesn't know where she is. She's involved with some Russian mob in Austria. All she knows of her memory loss is that she's been looking for Rachel as well. So she has to find Rachel, because she thinks finding Rachel will also give a hint into her origin and her forgotten past. So that's kind of how these characters come together. And that's basically this show. Each of these characters being introduced to one another, dealing with their own backstory, their own baggage, and essentially coming to terms with why they're here, protecting Rachel. Obviously, she has a backstory as well. It's done really amazingly. The way they weave in the story elements of all the characters, like, I gotta say, and this is what brings me to my next point, is that the marketing of this show was very, very, very poor. I'm a sucker for this kind of stuff, so obviously I was going to watch this no matter how the marketing looked, but I know a lot of people who saw the marketing in the trailers and were very much like, nah, I'm good, I'm out, which is, again, very understandable given how the marketing went. The way this show was marketed originally was there was a teaser that focused on all these sort of violent things. There was even the famous, infamous, again, F Batman line that Robin says in episode one, which was completely misconstrued and misled in the trailers and the marketing. The show was shown to be very cliched and very team building. You know, the trailers featured, like, you know, alone they're heroes, together Titans. So you can kind of see where people get turned off, because that's so cliche, that's so, we've seen that so many times before. But the show is nothing like that. For example, not to give anything away, this is a spoiler-free review, but it's not even until, you know, this is an 11-episode series for season one so far. Out of 11 episodes, the four main characters don't even really come together until episode five. So that gives you a sense of how the makers really took their time with the story, how they really kind of gave everyone a reason to be together. Their stories needed to be worked out individually before they could all join together as a team. So that's kind of what I liked. Again, half the episode, half the series, the main characters aren't even together yet. Episode five is when they kind of get together. So they establish their motivations really well before they do that, which, again, I like that. And that's why I really think when you market something that way, it takes away from that. It takes away from that originality, from that, you know, this is special. But when they go, Titans, something missing. So I think a lot of people got turned off by that. The show also does stay true to its comic book origins, which means Beast Boy has green hair. which means Rachel has black hair with purple highlights, and it's like this weird bob cut thing, which means that Starfire does have bright magenta hair with purple leather outfits, fur. It's things that are very sort of look not believable on screen in live action, especially if you're just looking at it out of context of the storyline. Put together in the context of the storyline, you're like, yeah, like after a while, you really get used to it. It fits the tone of the series. So I think the marketing was a disservice to the show itself for people that might not be interested. Skip the marketing, just watch the show and just take it from there. The story itself of season one of Titans is so much fun. It takes some time to build, but the episodic format is something that I haven't seen before in this sort of a TV series. Again, keep in mind, for people that don't know, this is DC Comics' first comic book property in a show of this caliber, taking mainstream characters. This isn't like indie Vertigo or Dark Horse stuff. This is main DC Comics characters. You're putting them in a world that's very mature, that's not kid-friendly. They're doing things and saying things that you would never expect comic book superheroes, these characters, to be doing or saying. And they did it with an 11-episode sort of arc. They took their time. They were able to do it for their own service. They don't have to worry about ratings. They don't have to worry about commercials. They don't have to worry about, you know, who's liking what. They could just do it in a room, in a vacuum, send it out based on the quality of the show itself without any other factors governing what they're creating. In that sense, I think this show is a huge success. And I'll tell you why. The show builds. It starts off slow, but builds. However, in that slowness, there's still very effective beats that the show hits. There's this action that hooks you in. There's these story beats that make you go, oh my God, I want to know more. There's these diversions from the main storyline that make you go, whoa, I want to know more about these guys, or what are these characters? What is their history? At the same time, it's not confusing. So you're not going, I don't get what's happening here because I don't understand who these characters are. No, you get a sense that this is relative to this story, that there's something going on with this character. That doesn't take away from what's happening here. It adds to it. So in that sense, the show is highly successful. The pacing of the show is amazing. As I mentioned, it's very effective when it comes to the use of this 10-episode story. I have to say, for people that are very critical of the current DC TV shows out there right now on the CW, you've got Green Arrow, Supergirl, Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, and so on and so on, I understand the criticism. Their 20-episode format gives them almost too much room to tell an effective story because they have to fill some episodes. They have to work around the commercial breaks. They have to really submit to the feedback from the ratings week to week to week. So a lot of those elements are very soap opera. This doesn't have that. The DC Universe show Titans does not have this. It does not have what the DC TV shows do. The melodrama, the dragging out of storyline, the mystery, the teasing is constantly. There is none of that. It's a 51-minute show each episode, more or less, give or take a minute or two. And it's all story. It's all beats that you can follow. There's nothing where you're getting frustrated, and you can binge it, best thing. Then you've got the DCEU movies. Base criticism with them is, oh, it's dark and gritty, it's no fun, blah, 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 blah. Which, again, valid concerns. It feels unnecessarily dark and really bogged down. So, in that perspective, if you think the DC Universe is going too dark with its movies, this show goes, yeah, we'll go dark, but we'll not go PG-13 dark. Let's go dark. Let's swear, let's curse, let's show some gore and violence and blood and you know, and cut away and just people without their heads. Like, this show goes dark in a way that is believable, in a way that is very HBO, for example. So in that sense, it works. The story structured around these characters who all have these emotional depth to them, who have sort of this drive. It's a very well-written show, I gotta say. But Titans, definitely. The story itself, I have no complaints with. Could things be better? For sure. Anything could be better. It's not flawless. Could you trim some fat here and there? Could I say a scene was not necessary? Of course I can. But overall, the enjoyment of what I got out of this series, that stuff really falls in the background. It doesn't really matter. All right, let's talk characters. As I mentioned, these are sort of the first ever live-action versions of these iterations of characters we've ever gotten before. We've obviously seen Robin in many different sort of Batman, the movies, Batman and Robin, infamously. However, this is sort of the first time that this version of Robin has been on screen. This version of Robin, who is no longer Robin, or does not want to be Robin anymore. He's moved away from Batman and Bruce Wayne, and he's trying to develop his own identity, which if you follow the comics, is Nightwing. But right now he's still in that phase where he's struggling to leave that persona behind. So we've got Brandon Thwaites, as this character, playing Dick Grayson and Robin, a grown-up Dick Grayson and Robin. Thwaites is more recognizable nowadays for, he was in Gods of Egypt. He was most recently in the new Pirates of the Caribbean reboot. He's a decent actor. He's definitely not the CW brand of actor. I mean, he looks like it. My kids are like, oh, he's so cute. But he does have some sort of gravitas to him, which separates from that caliber of acting. At the same time, he's not as dark and sort of heavy as the movie characters and actors all kind of portray. The character is really interesting because when you're asking about putting a character on screen whose origins are so tied to Batman, but for whatever reason, you might not be able to do Batman or Bruce Wayne on screen because, you know, the movies, Ben Affleck maybe, it's hard to do. But this show, Jesus, guys, I gotta tell you, like, this show goes all in. They do so much. They don't shy away from the origin of Dick Grayson. They don't shy away from the origin of Robin. We see the mansion. We see him in the Batcave. We see the Batcave. We see all of that. And they still are able to tell us Dick Grayson's origin story in just as appealing and emotionally effective way that we've got the thousands of Bruce Wayne backstory origins. And this is the first time we've gotten this sort of an origin for Dick Grayson on live action, and I loved it. It made sense with everything. His arc throughout the story is very unique. He is more or less the main character of the show. And his through line is wonderful. Where he is at the end of season one, where he starts off from, is very much a period of Dick Grayson Robin that I don't think we've ever sort of had in any sort of feature animated or live action format. So that's really interesting to see. At the same time, they're able to give you that backstory by still discussing the fact that Bruce Wayne is Batman, Batman exists in this universe, blah 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 blah, and none of it ever feels like you're missing anything. You definitely understand there's history, but for casual audiences, they will never think that, oh, I don't understand what's happening, who is this Batman? Come on. The most interesting character, I gotta say, an actress actually, that stands out in Titans is Anna Diop's Starfire, Coriander's. She has hair that's bright, vibrant magenta. I'm sure it's magenta. I'm sure a lot of you will correct me that it's not magenta, but I have a strong feeling that it is magenta. So she's a character that in the TV show has been, in the series, the animated series, has been played very much like, ah, fish out of water alien, doesn't understand English expressions and cute and ditzy. So when you have a character like that, and you put her in this live action format, it's kind of very tricky how you're going to do this, especially when you give her memory loss on top of that. Coriander's, Anna Diop, I'm pretty sure I'm messing that up, she plays this character wonderfully. Like, I've never watched an actor on screen very rarely, and she's doing an amazing job. Completely out of context to what it is she's doing, but on screen, she has so much presence and grace, and she's gorgeous. And she's playing a character that usually people play with in two ways, right? When people deal with memory loss characters, they deal with it in two ways. Quiet, angry, violent, somber. Or the opposite, demure, helpless, confused, where am I, sort of vibes. She plays this character who, again, is suffering from memory loss in a completely unique way. She is driven, she's motivated, she knows what she has to do, she knows where she's going to figure out who she is. And she's on her journey. And in the meantime, she's cracking jokes, she's charming, she's being a smartass, and totally beating up anyone who crosses her path. I have some issues with her sort of murdering, but that seems to be the character that they kind of go with. The chemistry between her and Robin is very interesting, whereas he's very righteous and moral, and she has no apprehension about killing people. So you put those two together on a team where he has to sort of counteract that instinct of hers. It makes for some great chemistry, hilarious moments. And again, Anna Diop, amazing. It's such a wonderful portrayal of a character that, you know, now that you watch it, after watching it, you kind of go, how else could they have done this? Like, you can't imagine how they would have done it before they did it. And now after she's done it, you kind of go, yeah, how else would this have been possible? Rounding out the cast is Tegan Croft, who plays Raven, Rachel Roth. She's a very young actress. She hasn't done a lot. She's only, I think, done two other things prior to this show. Her inexperience shows she's very young. However, again, that as to the character who is confused, who is lost, who is scared, who is fearful of what's inside of her, and also she's being, you know, internal conflict, external conflict. So that experience kind of, I think, lends the performance a bit better. Weakest of the bunch, I would say, but still kind of adds to the performances as the team dynamic that much more. Then we get to the comic relief of the show, which is Ryan Potter, who plays Gar, Beast Boy. And he also has a unique look, sort of green hair. He can change into an animal, a tiger, and hilarious. He is the comic relief. He is sort of the heart of the show. He's the one that keeps things light when things are super serious. And it is a super serious show, but there are lighthearted moments. Anytime he's on screen, he kind of lights it up with this energy, and the comic relief, really, which, and that's consistently the character. I mean, the other characters have been darkened a little bit for the show, for this series in particular, but Beast Boy kind of stays true to his spirit. He's very mature. He's very funny. The first time he meets Robin is hilarious. So those are moments that kind of, again, add to that team dynamic, and I can't kind of see wait to see what they do with him more. I hope the show goes long enough that we see these arcs in them. You know, we see this lighthearted kid kind of become a bit more mature and funner. But Ryan Potter, definitely, he's a martial artist on his own right. So a lot of these action moments, he doesn't get a lot to do in season one, but he does get some moves and he does get some moments. So really great character, really good actor, rounds out the cast that much more. The takeaway from DC Universe's Titans is the ridiculous amount of world building you got to do. When you're adapting a comic book story, you're kind of thinking, how do they do this, right? How are they going to tell the stories of these characters who have already been introduced in this world, who already have backstories linked with other characters that we can't show on screen? How are you going to do Venom without Spider-Man, guys? Similar to that, how are you going to do a team, which is an ancillary team made up of sidekicks of other heroes, as I mentioned in the beginning of this review? How do they do it? Well, you know what? You do it. You don't shy away from it. Titans, the series has been created by Greg Berlanti, who is of the CW DC Universe TV Universe, Supergirl, Flash, Green Arrow, and you've also got Jeff Johns, who's responsible for the DCEU aspect of it. Not responsible, he's consulted. He's a big DC Comics guy. He's rebooted a lot of these origins in comic book form, and he's a consulting sort of producer, chief creative officer, I believe he was, of the DCEU, the movie universe. You bring these guys together, and the way this show is made, the world building is ridiculous. It's so crazy. They don't shy away from anything. There's no, you know, limitations. You're in a world where Batman exists, Superman exists, Joker exists. You're in a situation where the Penguin exists, Riddler exists, the entire Batman Rogues Gallery. Those stories have happened. Those characters exist in this world. Wonder Woman exists in this world. Themyscira exists in this world. There's references, allusions, and I won't spoil anything, but oh my God, there's so much here that you're like, I don't believe I've ever said, how could they do that? Are they allowed to do that? I didn't think they could do that on television. But clearly they can. But they do it in such a way where the characters come on screen and you're watching them for the first time, but you realize that there's history, that you get that there's a backstory, but it doesn't take away from what's happening now. You're not confused. You're still very much like, oh, I get that these people have history together. I get that the history is now playing an impact on this character's arc in the story that I'm watching. This world existed before the episodes and the series started, which is really hard to do, especially when there's decades and decades of comic book material that you can include or not include, but they include all of it here. It doesn't take it away. If you've never seen a DC show, you don't know who Batman or Robin is, you can watch this show and get a sense that, oh my God, there's more to this than this story. You can leave it at this story and not want to know anything beyond that. Great, continue watching the seasons. When season 2 comes out, better come out, DC. But if you don't want to leave it, you want to leave it there, you can. If you're a hardcore fan, oh my God, this should be, this isn't even Easter eggs. Easter eggs is something that's kind of a subtle hint that they put in for you to not notice or pick up, you know, kind of, I get it. No, this is in your face. You're getting the entire DC Comics universe here. Literally. Not literally. But you're getting that universe without any wink and nods, without any sly references, without any modifications to go, ah. It's very much right there. And it's one of the best things about the show, that the world building is huge. So that said, guys, that is my review of season one of the original DC Universe streaming service show, Titans. If you want more, definitely comment on this episode on the Split Screen Podcast, on Apple Podcasts, and all your favorite podcasting apps. Until then, follow me on social media at TheShashaKeith.